Hello and welcome to Spoilers Encouraged, the podcast where we read bad books so you don't have to. I'm Eileen.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Jess.
And so this week I read, depending on if you look at it in Kindle Unlimited or Goodreads, in Goodreads it's called Immortally Yours, and in Kindle Unlimited it's called Monster Mash.
Those are very different names. I'm sorry.
The series on Goodreads is called Monster Mash, but then like if you have it open on Kindle Unlimited, the whole title is just Monster Mash, so it's very confusing. But it's by Angie Fox, and it is, I don't know if you guys know this about me, you probably do, MASH is like my all-time favorite. I have seen all of it multiple times. I love it. So I very much appreciated this book.
Is it based on MASH?
Yes, it is. It is like it is like a supernatural.
Oh, not like the Monster MASH the song.
No, it's like the show MASH, but like a supernatural version.
Okay. Oh, so kind of is the Monster MASH.
Yeah.
So is it people, isn't MASH like in Vietnam?
Yeah. Well, it was in Korea.
Okay.
But similar concept. This is in fact in purgatory.
Okay.
Got it.
Purgatory is the new Korea.
Yeah, of course. What else would it be?
Basically, people say that all the time. So before we get started, though, I have shuffled up my Marry, Fuck, Kill game. I should start removing the ones we already did because I keep getting them and then it's not fun. Okay.
We should honestly do research and like come with themed ones.
I know.
That would be fun.
Because honestly, a lot of the times these things aren't
great. Did you guys watch MASH? We could Marry, Fuck, Kill them.
No.
I did date a guy once that was really into MASH though.
I love it. Do you still have his information?
And I Googled a lot of stuff when we were first talking to act as if I did know MASH.
Did it work? Did he believe you?
I don't think so. But I did know Spaceballs for real. And I think that cinched the deal.
That's fair.
That was good enough.
Throw a few Spaceball quotes out there. That's all needed.
Then you're good to go.
Yep.
All right. So we have Ricky Gervais. We had your local postman, but I took it out because that's stupid. I have no idea what my local postman looks like.
I have a few.
Me neither. The mystery, though.
Mystery man, obviously.
The mystery, yeah. So we have Ricky Gervais and the Joker.
What version of the Joker?
You get to choose.
Oh.
And Fred Flintstone. This is not, I'm not loving our options.
No.
I want to kill everyone.
I'm just thinking.
I mean,
who do I marry?
At least Ricky Gervais is rich.
That's a good point. I guess sleep with the Joker.
Yeah.
True. I'll marry him.
Right? It's probably a fun experience.
I bet it'd be a wild time.
I was going to say the same.
I mean, Harley Quinn went crazy for a reason, right? Like, it's got to be something going on there.
And I feel like sex with Fred Flintstone is not.
There's no way that's good. Absolutely not.
Bye, Fred. Wilma's going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's true. Fred, rest in peace.
Hamilton's a new daddy coming in tomorrow.
Okay, we have Darth Vader, Ryan Reynolds, and Ed Sheeran.
I'm going to kill Ed Sheeran.
I was going to say that, immediately killing Ed Sheeran right away.
Though he's really wealthy.
So is Ryan Reynolds.
And he's on tour all the time, so I don't spend time with him, really.
Oh, that's true. He's always gone. That's nice.
You can't really sleep with Darth Vader. He doesn't have a body, does he? Right? It's like...
Doesn't have a body?
Isn't he like a robot?
I thought he's like kind of a cyborg situation. I think he's a little bit of both.
Well, yeah, but it's like...
Yeah, I thought it was like he was like a person.
Yeah.
A robot dick, I guess. Do you think they paid the money to give him a little robot dick?
I bet they did. I bet they did. Plus, you know, he's got sad boy energy.
He does. Oh, but that face, the mask has to stay on.
The mask would stay 100%. On. 100%.
It has to. I don't think I've even seen Star Wars, but I've seen his face.
That was enough.
That was enough.
But I mean, you saw Spaceballs, so did you really even need to see Star Wars?
Right? I know the basic story.
You basically already experienced it. All right. So for Monster MASH, it's actually probably better that you guys have not seen MASH because then we don't have another situation in which we talk about things that make no sense if people don't see what we're seeing, know what we know. So as we mentioned, a MASH unit's like a hospital in a war zone, and you have like little tents where people live and your little tent for your OR and everything. And our main character, her name is Petra, and she is a surgeon, and she's human, but she was like a supernatural surgeon. She lived in New Orleans originally. And there's this war going on between the old gods and the new gods. And it's been going on for like millennia. The reason for it's stupid, and it's essentially just gods have a lot of ego, and the ones that are fighting the war are these humans or demigods, and both sides can draft people from Earth. So she got drafted, and she is a surgeon for the new god army.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Please do. It made very little sense.
Before she got drafted, did she know this existed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the weird part because people seem to be aware. So she actually had an ex-boyfriend that was drafted before her.
Okay.
So she was aware.
Okay.
But other than that, it sounds like Earth is just Earth. People just sometimes disappear to go fight in the God's army.
And they're just like, okay, bye.
Yeah, like peace out. The other thing it says is that like when the armies are evenly matched, they're distracted with each other. And when one is doing a lot better than the other, that's when they like go biblical on Earth because they're like doing a little victory lap. So either way, Petra, I mean, Petra's just a doctor, so she can't do much, but humans want them to be evenly matched. You don't want one person or one side to win or be winning too much because that's when you get the locusts and shit.
Interesting. So, like, the locust is just like after Boston wins and we destroy our own city.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's what an
Yeah. They are
apocalypse is.
basically Red Sox bros. So she is in this MASH unit. So there was like minor gods, demigods, and some like mythological beings that she's working with. And she has like a special ability. She can see ghosts. Most people cannot see ghosts. And it's like she keeps that ability secret because there's this prophecy that some kind of healer with this ability is going to facilitate the end of the war. And gods on neither side really want the war to end because they're like having a great time. So anyone who has this ability and is in healing profession dies. So her mentor in med school could see ghosts and like they always just die mysteriously. So she's keeping that under wraps. But one day, an ambulance arrives with a new god soldier, and he's a demigod, but he's a hot one. He's not one of like the weird ones with the horns. He's just a really hot man, obviously. It's the main character. Well, the male main character. Petra's the main character. And his name is Galen, and Galen's been stabbed with his like magical dagger that is kind of tricky because if you try to pull it out, it divides and divides and divides like little barb. It like explodes in slow motion. So you want to be like very careful in how you remove it so you don't like set that off.
Inside of someone, you would
Yes.
set it off. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Good clarification.
It's
It's bad for everyone. It's just slowly killing the whole camp.
going everywhere.
But she does kind of hit it in the surgery and he dies momentarily. And she sees his ghost and she's like, moment of panic, grabs his ghost and puts it back in his body, which is a thing she did not know she could do and had never
Oh.
done before. But in the minute that she touches his ghost, their souls see each other. And she sees that he is strong and powerful, yet so lonely. And she, after the surgery, is like, fuck. Hopefully, no one noticed I did that because no one's supposed to know I had this power. Maybe no one noticed. It's fine.
Including the demigod, she doesn't think he noticed her
No,
throw that
no, she's like, maybe I got away with it.
soul back
I'm
in there.
sure it's fine. I feel like I've done shit where sometimes you do like the stupidest shit and you're like, I don't know, maybe no one saw it.
Dared to dream. Maybe that didn't really
Yeah, it's fine.
happen. I can just manifest it
No one just saw me face plant over nothing. It's fine.
away.
So she goes back to her tent and she's got two roommates, which their vibe kind of matches the vibe of some of the roommates in MASH, but one is this vampire. His name's Marius. He is like a very stereotypical, like rich, snooty vampire. And then the other one is named Roger, and he's a werewolf, and he's her best friend. They're buddies. He has a mate and like a million children back home. So his mate's always like sending him little care packages and things. So then Galen wakes up and he has like requested to see her in post-op. And she goes to talk to him, and he remembers obviously what she did. And he's like, what the fuck was that? And she's like, look, you were very drugged and probably hallucinating and just like gaslights the shit out of this man. And he's like, something like, I saw you performing surgery. And she's like, that's actually like a really common hallucination. So like,
Yeah, everyone does. You're not special.
everyone thinks that. Yeah. Get over yourself, sir. I am just a surgeon. So she's like, I'm gonna go because you need to calm down. You're a little agitated. And he tries to follow her, but I don't know why he's not wearing a hospital Johnny or whatever, but he's like fully naked
Obviously.
as he's running to follow her.
Oh, when you first said that, I thought you meant like because he's wearing clothes, but he's just.
He's just naked.
Just butt ass
Oh.
naked.
Just totally naked. Not sure what is going on in this MASH unit.
No state.
He's got like literally nothing.
Wow.
Not even like his little like uniform pants. Not a thing. So there's this orderly. His name is Hefe, and Hefe is a sphinx, and Hefe is like all kinds of agitated. He's like, sir, you need to lie back down. This is a lot that's happening right now. He offers to tell Galen a riddle because, you know, sphinxes love riddles. And he's like, but the downside to that is if you answer it wrong, I have to eat you because that's what sphinxes do.
It won't be my fault, but I will have to.
It sounds like a great hospital.
Right?
So
That's the end of life plan. You just have to
you have to answer a riddle.
get a riddle wrong. People laying there, like limbs cut off, and he's like, I'll tell you a riddle.
The end of A Court of Thorns and Roses. Like the most ridiculous riddle.
Yes, exactly.
He has to be just good enough an illiterate 18-year-old could solve it. So he feels kind of bad that he's guiding Hefe all worked up, though. So he's like, I will lie back down if Petra sits here for like 5 minutes and talks to me because something is going on and she's lying to me about it. And she's like, all right, I can stay here with you, but continues to just like maintain the party line that nothing happened. She offers to get a priest to calm him down. And in MASH, the priest is actually like a really cool guy. And so I did not write down this priest's name. MASH priest is Father Mulcahy, so I'm just going to call him that. So she offers to go get Father Mulcahy, and Galen is like, no, I just want you to tell me what happened. And everyone knows the prophecy, right? So he knows the prophecy. So he's like getting really suspicious. And he's like, if it's the prophecy, I can protect you. And she's like, absolutely not. I think you need to sleep that off. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
You know, I like that she's being smart. Most people would have caved to
Yeah.
the hot guy already.
That's true.
I like that she's holding out a little bit. I'm sure they'll cave soon, but
Yeah.
like.
Well, think about the HR nightmare. She's like, working at the medical facility that he's a patient at. That's a little.
And I don't know how Post Op is in Monster MASH, but in TV show MASH, everyone in Post Op's kind of lined up in the same room.
Got it.
Also that.
So I don't know why this man's discussing it here.
Everyone
A
can hear.
little privacy would have been a better option. And so she said she'll talk to him tomorrow, knowing full well that she has put in the paperwork to have him transferred to another MASH unit. And she's like, he will not be here tomorrow. So perfect. And then when she goes to get changed, she opens like her little cubby and sees the dagger that had been in Galen in the cubby. And because of the prophecy also involves this doctor having a dagger. Doctors are not allowed to be armed. Like that's against the rules here. So she's like, fuck, I put this dagger where you're supposed to put all these weapons. Why is it here? But she ends up getting cornered by this captain who is a demigod and he's like very prejudiced against mortals. He hates all mortals and he's like an uptight asshole. So she like hides the dagger in the waistband of her pants to just like get out because she's like, if he catches me with this, it's going to be like a whole thing and he won't believe that I didn't put it there. So she leaves with the dagger and then she goes to chill out with Roger and. In MASH, the TV show, they call their tent the swamp. Like they have a little sign on it that's called the swamp. And here they have like a real tent, but then there's also a literal swamp where they hang out. They just like sit next to the swamp and Roger like fishes in the swamp. And Petra like sits in a folding chair drinking a drink out of this like pink flamingo drink case. And she pulls the dagger out of her scrubs and she's like, Roger, this dagger was in my cubby, and I swear to God, I put it where it's supposed to be, and it showed up in my cubby. And if I'm caught with it, I'm gonna get in trouble. And then, as she's speaking, Roger just like grabs it from her hand and throws it in the swamp, and he's like, problem solved. You're welcome.
That was literally going to be my suggestion.
Right? That's true friendship.
That's true friendship.
So Petra's like, perfect. Problem solved. So she takes a nap while Roger continues his fishing. And there's this minor god who's in charge of like organizing who gets what assignments in camp and stuff. And he's super uptight, but he's not like the asshole captain. Like he's a good guy. He's just uptight. But he comes and he's like, hey, I thought you should know Galen is still here. His ambulance broke down. And she's like, does this happen often? Like, I feel like that's a thing that the army needs to get their shit together for. Like, ambulances are kind of important. Uptight God, his name is Horace. He was like, no, this doesn't happen. So she thinks maybe Galen did something. And he's like, actually, there were fire-breathing chickens nesting in the engine. So we didn't see that. And then it broke down.
Happens to the best of us.
Right? I mean, sometimes you can't find a charger for your electric vehicle. Sometimes there's a fire-breathing chicken. You never know.
You really never know. You got to watch out for everything. Be
Exactly.
prepared.
Always be prepared. There's very little difference between Girl Scouts and Monster Mash. Wait, so I'll be re always be prepared. Is that Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts? I was in Girl Scouts, but I forget. I don't know.
I was in Girl Scouts. All I remember is and live by the Girl Scout law.
Oh, yeah.
You probably forgot the law.
I forgot the rest of it.
You're supposed to live by it. What it is, unclear.
Whoopsie. I guess I was not prepared.
Probably something like be a good
I
person.
feel like probably something with friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, we can ignore all of that, I'm sure. So she's like, can you put Galen on another ambulance, please? And he's like, we tried that. The second ambulance ran over a horny-backed boar and ended up with a flat tire. And she's like, absolutely ridiculous. Do we have any other ambulances? And he's like, yes, but he is a very large man and physically would not fit in the ambulance we had left.
How big is he?
I don't know, because it sounded like he was just a large human-sized person. But then they're like, he physically won't fit in the ambulance. And I was like, what is going on here?
Like, he must be bigger than like 6 foot 5 or whatever.
To fit in, yeah, that has to
There's a
be.
point at which being too tall is no longer attractive. Like, there's too much.
What is an inconvenience to your life?
Yeah.
No, 100%.
No, thank you. If he's too big to get in an ambulance, it's probably not great.
I went on a date with someone who was like truly, I think he was almost 7 feet tall. And I walked into the restaurant and he was like, I saw him ahead of me and he turned around to say hi to me and he hit his head on the exit sign.
Oh no.
I was like, I'm not into it.
That gave you the ick immediately.
I know.
You were like, immediately no, turned around and walked out. Luckily, he couldn't see past the exit sign, so you were able to slip out. So Petra is like, well, we can't keep sending him in ambulances because if it's like the prophecy trying to make things come true, then like we're just going to keep ruining ambulances. Roger's like, he is recovering fine. Why don't we just let him stay here? And Petra's like, we will need to figure something else out because this man needs to leave. And while they're talking, Horace sees the dagger, which has reappeared in her pants. And he's like, you are not allowed to have a weapon. And she's like, I swear to God, I did not put this here. And Roger's like, I can confirm I threw it in the swamp. So I don't know what's going on here. And Horace is like, you need to go to Father Mulcahy and figure out why you have this like weird haunted dagger following you around before like it gets you in trouble. And she's like, sure. But first, she's going to stop and talk to Galen. The whole scene of her talking to Galen, to this day, I cannot figure out the point of it because I thought she was going to go and ask him about the dagger or ask him about like the prophecy. No, she just like wheels him in a little wheelchair out to the edge of camp and he says something about the prophecy and she's like, it's not my problem and got mad. He was like, look, again, I can protect you. My team, they do like really classified dangerous shit. You can come with us. And she's like, what is the classified dangerous shit? But he won't tell her. So she's like, fine, you can go back then. And I'm like, woman, if you did not want to talk about the prophecy, why did you go to him?
Yeah, what was the point of you
Yeah, what was
hanging out with
the
him?
purpose?
I don't understand. This book was too intellectual for me.
Clearly.
So she drops him back at post-op. I'm sorry. Emmett has one paw. He's on the couch. He has one paw on the coffee table and is like staring into my soul. Okay.
He's listening. He wants a mic. Give him a
He legitimately just made eye contact with me and then let out the loudest fart. I was like, oh, that's what that
Oh,
was. He
power
was
move.
waiting for me to look at
Power
him. What a good dog. Okay. So she drops him back at post op and then goes to see Father Mulcahy. And Father Mulcahy's the only person in the world that knows she can see ghosts. And he knows because when she first arrived, she knew about this prophecy. She knew it was, a doctor who can see ghosts with a dagger. So she's like, what if I just get a dagger? Then prophecy solved. So she, I'm not making this up, orders it on eBay and has it like delivered to purgatory.
I'm surprised they deliver, but okay.
Apparently it still works. I bet Amazon Prime would be faster than eBay, to be honest. I bet Amazon's also a little closer to hell, so it's probably faster for that too.
True.
But the prophecy doesn't like people like trying to force it, right? So if you try to make it happen, it kind of fights back. It's supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen. So when she orders the dagger and is trying to force it, New Orleans is hit by a huge hurricane. The entire city is decimated. Her dad dies. It's very traumatic. She's like, whoopsie.
Oh God.
So she went to Father Mulcahy and was like, I ordered this dagger and now I have it and people died. What do I do? And he like took the dagger off her hands and like helped her cover it up. So he immediately thinks she ordered another dagger and he's like, I thought we learned our lesson. And she's like, I swear to God, this one's just following me around. I don't know why. And he's not too much help. He's like a listening ear, but doesn't really know what to do with the dagger. She doesn't tell him about touching Galen's ghost because she's aware of how idiotic that was. So she's like, I'm not willing to admit to that out loud because I'm aware that was really fucking stupid. So she does say, like, she wants him gone, but she says it's because she's just attracted to him and it's inappropriate. And Father Mulcahy's basically like, no, get it, girl. Like, you have been so locked down since your dad died. And you need a little fun, and this man sounds fun. You should go for it.
Oh,
Yeah, he's very cute.
not very priestly though. Those priests don't tell you to go get
Right? This is Father Mulcahy, he's the best. He really is. I mean, I love all the characters in MASH. They're all so fun, but he was the most surprisingly fun, I will say, considering my feelings on Catholicism.
it.
So she is making her way back to camp, and the way that the camp is set up is like most of the tents are all close to each other, but then on like the far end of camp, there's like a little graveyard for the medics who die, and beyond that is where Father Mulcahy is. So you have to like make your way through this like creepy ass graveyard to get back to camp. And she's making her way back to camp, and she can tell she's being followed, and they run a lot of pranks on each other, which were actually all quite funny, but I didn't write them down, so we're not discussing them tonight. But she at first thinks there's a prank, and that's what she sees. But then she realizes it's actually this like ginormous scorpion, like the Godzilla of scorpions. It's huge and it's following her. And so she starts running. She tries to hide in like an abandoned Jeep she finds, but the scorpion just like picks up the Jeep with its like little claws and like crushes it. And she just like rolls out at the last minute. And then Galen shows up out of nowhere and kills the scorpion and saves her.
Oh.
Also, fun fact, they don't reveal this till later. Still naked.
What?
It does not come up until later.
Is he just always naked? Like, does he just not never wear clothes?
Is that like a personality trait? Maybe that's it. He's like, I.
Demigod thing? He
Yeah.
clothes damper his power.
He likes the breeze, I guess.
He's better than clothes.
He's just fighting this giant scorpion butt-ass naked.
And no one mentions it.
Into
Like, Petra isn't like, wow, it's weird, he's naked. She's just
it.
like, oh, he fought the scorpion. That's cool.
Where are your clothes?
She is into it. Galen's like, scorpions were sent by the old gods. I think this means that the prophecy's happening because they're following you. And I don't know how they were able to track you, but like, it's creepy that they were. And in her mind, she's like, they were probably just tracking your creepy dagger. But she doesn't tell him that she has it. So she's like, I don't know. There's no prophecy and you're crazy. So he's like, because I don't know how they're following you, I feel like I should sleep in your tent because something is happening and it's going to be bad. She's like, you can walk me back to my tent, but that's about it. This is the first time they mention he's naked, because on the way there, other officers are like cheering and clapping for her and like jeering at her. And I was like, I feel like that would have been a thing she'd notice before now.
You'd think.
Yeah, you'd be very noticeable.
Yeah. And so they get back to her tent, and Marius is there, and they tell Marius about the scorpions. And she's like, look, I have a full-on vampire friend here to protect me, so you can go the fuck back to post op. But she's like, you can't go back naked, even though he just walked through like all of camp naked.
Really do anything naked.
Everyone's already seen him naked, but that's
Everyone's seen him naked. He fought the scorpion naked. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't need clothes.
No. So Petra is like, you know, Marius is like a vampire. He's really tall and lanky. It's not going to fit this like ginormous demigod of a man. But Roger, as a werewolf, is more of like a similar size. So she goes into his trunk and pulls out one of his shirts and just hands it to Galen. And the shirt's from Roger's mate, and it says "World's Greatest Lover" on it. And Galen's like, "It's a little premature." And she's like, "Absolutely not." So she finds this horrible, like, lumpy sweater that's also Roger's, and it's like, "You can wear that too, because can't be naked." She does not give him pants.
I was gonna say, pants seem like the one that you go to first.
Does not give him pants.
Oh.
I was very confused. Because, like, you would think if he had on pants, she would just let him walk through camp that way. Who cares if he's shirtless?
Yeah, I would agree.
But if you're going to be half dressed, it's got to be the bottom half.
It's gotta be the bottoms.
Otherwise, you look
Yes,
like Winnie the
he's Winnie the Pooh, which is worse than just full naked.
It's so much worse.
It's more obscene, I
Agreed.
think.
Maybe she's like going out of her way to be less attracted to him. She's like, this man is too attractive. Maybe if he's just wearing a sweater and no pants, that'll do
Nope, that's my thing.
it. Backfired. So, as Galen's going to leave, Roger's coming back and he's like, oh, is Galen here to pick up his knife? And Galen's like, what the fuck? You did not tell me my dagger was here. And Petra's like, well, cat's out of the bag now. I guess I have to tell you. So they go to the mess tent. She tells him, she's like, I'll tell you everything. So they go to the mess tent. She's like, I have something to confess. I touched your soul. And he's like, I'm aware. Like, I physically remember it.
We were both there. We made eye
We
contact.
were there. I saw your soul as well, as I've mentioned several times. He remembers the connection. He's like super into it. And she's like, she does not want to believe the prophecy. She's like, I've tried to fuck around the prophecy before. Bad shit happens. And he's like, listen, so there's these like oracles. And it seems like they like live in a cave almost. And then when they're about to release like a prophecy, they'll like come in and out of the cave as they're like conferring. And the prophecy is not that long. Like it's literally just like healer, you can see ghosts with a dagger. But prophecies are released in threes. So once the first part comes true, the second part comes out. And once the second part comes true, the third part comes out. So he's like, the oracles know the first part already came true. So like that's what the scorpions were about. And if you're still not believing it, try to send me away again. And if I'm still here tomorrow, then I think we're aware that something bigger is at play and it's not just, you know, fire-breathing chickens keeping me here. So she goes to transfer him the next day. And the reason it didn't work was actually quite funny. And I was deciding on time whether I should bring it up or not. And I'm going to do it. So she tries to transfer him. But the problem is the doctor that's supposed to sign that he's arrived at the previous mass unit she tried to transfer him to is dead. So he can't sign it, but she can't transfer him until that's signed. And so they're like, we have to send that to HQ. And she's like, that could take weeks. And they're like, I don't know what to tell you because until this man signs this paperwork, it doesn't happen. And so she goes to like the colonel in charge of the like in charge of the mass unit. And she's like, I would like to fill out the paperwork to raise the dead because I need this man to sign this transfer. And the colonel is like, this is not an emergency. I really don't think we need to do that. Like, let that man rest in peace, please. And it was, I really did enjoy this book. It was ridiculous. It was pretty fun, though. And he's like, but you can take Galen to the VIP tent while he's staying here. So she takes him to the VIP tent, and it's like a full-on, like, Harry Potter tent, where it's like a
Ooh.
mansion in it. It's got like a sauna in there. It's like huge. And her favorite part is it has a fridge with fruit in it. She hasn't had fruit in years because they're like shitty stuff at the camp.
The gods don't even feed them well.
Right? It's terrible.
It just feels like it would be easy for them to feed them
You
well.
would think they could just magic shit up,
Especially
but
if it's just fruit.
right? She just
It's
wants fruit.
a pretty basic
And
request.
he wins her over by giving her blueberries, which is the worst of the berries.
Oh, yeah, right.
Worst of the berries. What?
Like, that's where her standards are.
So low. Blueberries are the
Yeah.
lowest of the
The
low.
dirt. Her
They are
standards
the
are.
worst. Blueberries are like the berry version of a man hitting his head on the exit sign. It's like immediately no.
It is immediate.
Immediately no. She stays because she wants his fruit. And they bond and they have like deep discussions about their childhoods and how they feel about themselves. He thinks he's a monster. And she's like, "You're not a monster." And they're like lying on his soft bed, feeling really comfortable with each other. And then Galen brings up the prophecy and she's like, "Fuck you. We were having a good time." So she stalks away and like doesn't talk to him for like days. He is a really friendly guy though, so he's making friends with like everyone. So
He wearing clothes now, or is he still naked?
it was unclear. I'm assuming he's wearing clothes, but that's not a safe assumption because I've assumed that before.
It.
So she's at her tent the next day. Roger comes back with a bowl of cherries and she's like, "I fucking know where you got that fruit." And he's like, "Yeah, Galen's a cool guy." And she's like, "Fuck that." And Galen makes friends with Hefe. He makes friends with Horace. He makes friends with Marius. He builds Marius his own little like coffin so he can hide from the sun separate from everyone else.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. And he keeps trying to contact her and she's like, "No, you're just gonna ask me about the prophecy." But he wins her over by she has these like bookshelves in her tent, but it's really I don't know why it's so hard to get books delivered there because she got a dagger delivered there, but it is. And he sends Roger home with a big box of books for her. And so she's like, "Okay, I guess I need to talk to this man," which I feel like that would be a good way to win me over too, depending on the books.
Yeah, not bad.
You open it up and it's just like 12 copies of Hillbilly Elegy.
But do they have a couch scene or not?
Kayla, I confirmed it. It's not true.
I know, but we're pretending it's real. I thought we agreed it was more fun that it
Is
did
more fun if it did
happen.
happen.
We can choose to believe it in our hearts.
We can't pick history based on what's fun.
I mean, can't we though?
That's kind of how history works.
I think historically we're not the demographic that gets to decide that.
With the couch, we might. This might be our turn.
So she like they make friends again and he agrees to back off a little bit about the prophecy until at least part two comes out. And then the news network, Paranormal News Network, or PNN, which is the news network everyone watches, is breaking the news. The first prophecy has come true. They're expecting the second prophecy at some point. And then as they're watching this, wounded arrive and it's like pandemonium because they're getting ready for surgery and everything. And the colonel kind of pulls Petra aside and he's like, "I need to talk to you about something really important after this." And she thinks he knows that she's the prophecy. And she's like, "Oh shit." The colonel is a demigod as well. Everyone in charge is. So she's like, "I am in trouble," because he's like closer to the gods than I am. But then when she goes to see him, that is not actually the case. Also, while they're in surgery, I skipped ahead. While they're in surgery, the second prophecy does arrive. And the second
Ooh.
prophecy is with the dagger, she will save lives and she will arrest the forces of the damned. And she's like, "Fuck no, I'm not doing that." So after surgery, she goes to talk to the colonel and she's like, "So, second prophecy came out." And colonel's like, "I think that's a bunch of bullshit. I really don't care. I have more important things to do."
Nice.
Yeah, so she's like, "Then why am I here?" And he wants to send her on a special assignment. There's an enemy MASH unit that has four of the new god casualties, and they're refusing to treat them, which is against the god version of the Geneva Convention, but they're still doing it. But the head surgeon in this enemy MASH unit is friends with the colonel, and is like, if you send two doctors who are unarmed, I will like give them these wounded so at least they can be taken care of.
But like, is it even possible for her to be unarmed? Isn't that like dagger like following her around?
Yeah, Colonel doesn't know that.
Ooh.
Yeah, she does not tell him.
Oh, that's a choice.
Right?
That's gonna
It's
lead to some problems.
interesting. It was an interesting choice she made. And she's like, what if I'm caught? And he's like, I'm gonna say you went AWOL. Like, you just did that on your own.
You're gonna blame it on her.
Yep. And he's sending her with the like uptight captain who hates mortals, who's just a pain in the ass. And Galen's like, I will come with you. And she's like, you are a weapon. Like, I cannot bring you with me. That is clearly aggressive. And he is insisting. So Hefe has her back, and Hefe uses his Sphinx poison to take Galen down. And he's like, it should last at least 3 days. It's sometimes 5 or 6, because that's how long it takes me to eat my prey. But I won't eat him because we're friends now. Otherwise, I would.
Haven't had a chance to tell him a riddle yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's not as fun unless they answer the riddle first.
It's also like that's the Sphinx code of ethics. Like he can't claim that
Yeah.
he's not told him a riddle.
He's not a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a monster with rules.
Exactly. He's a monster within reason. So, they get in the ambulance. It also makes they had a lot of like little like witty jokes in this book, and there's because they're in like limbo slash purgatory, there is a sign when they're driving to the enemy MASH unit says it's the highway to hell, like the literal highway to hell, which I appreciated. And this captain is like just always being a pain in the ass, and he's like, I hate you, you do not respect this war. And she's like, that is an accurate statement, I do not, it's stupid. He is not impressed. And at a certain point, they need to park and walk the rest of the way. And there's these cliffs, there's these like glowing hell pits with birds flying above it. It doesn't look great. It's not a fun time. They arrive at a checkpoint with some soldiers, and they're surrounded by these Death Eater type things. They're called shrouds, but they essentially just like suck out your soul. But right now, they seem kind of dormant. There's like a little perimeter, but she's like, let's not make these people angry. So she puts up her hands and is like, hey, we're doctors. Asshole captain says to the other soldiers, he's like, lower your weapons and return the prisoners. And she's like, do you want to put your hands up? Because that's not what we're doing right now. And he is like, I am a demigod and they are humans. I'm not going to do that. So she like raises her hands even higher to be like, I am not a threat, to be clear. I just want the wounded. And there's the doctors there with the wounded on a stretcher. There's some kind of like magic going on that one of the soldiers can just tell when someone's armed. And so he goes, stop, they aren't armed. And she drops her hands and like pats herself down. Dagger's not there. So she's like, I'm not armed, which I'm sure did not look sketchy at all. Like, literally, I gotta check first. We're good. But asshole captain pulls a knife out of his jacket and screams for death and glory and tries to like attack them. And then arrows fly. It's craziness. Petra falls to the ground and like curls up and hides her head because she is not in any way a soldier. She's like, I'm a doctor. I do not want to fight at all. So she just hides. And then when things quiet down, they pick her up and they're like, this was an act of aggression. And she's like, look, I am not a warrior. I am a doctor. And this man was crazy and went rogue, but that was not the plan. But then as she's talking, her dagger appears and they're like, she's also armed. And she's like, this dagger is following me. So she pulls it out, and the head doctor is like, that is like a knife of the fates. That is like a really important knife. And while they're talking, somehow, asshole captain, this is unclear how this happens, accesses a bomb and sets it off.
What?
Don't know how.
His bomb or he found one? This
I think he found one. I think
doesn't
someone was just like lying around.
look good for Petra because she's like, look at my little knife, and there's a bomb going off behind
Yeah,
me.
she brought a knife to a bomb fight.
Literally.
And then while the bomb's going off, the enemy doctor, well, the head doctor, was hit by the dagger, which, as you remember, you cannot pull out. So Petra tries to do surgery. I get the feeling she's not a very good surgeon, to be honest, because this is the second time she sets off the dagger. And this man dies, which is an extra problem because he was the one controlling the shrouds. So now they have like Death Eaters after them. So with his dying breath, he like rips a necklace off himself and like throws it at her, and that's how he was controlling the shrouds. But it's supposed to be used by a demigod, so it's like sucking the life out of her. She feels like she's dying. It burning her hands. She is running out of energy. And then just as she's dropping it, obviously Galen appears to save the day and takes the necklace and gets rid of the shrouds. And also Marius appears, which I appreciated. It's not just Galen, her friends are coming too.
Oh.
Yeah, and Marius picks her up and flies away. And while she's waiting for Galen to get all the shit together, it occurs to her that the prophecy said arrested the force of the damned with the dagger. And she's like, arrested could mean like you're under arrest, or it could mean like gave you pause. So she's like, oh, I guess the second prophecy did come true because she made the Death Eaters pause, even if she was not able to do much more than that. So she's like, fuck. I guess that that did happen. On the way back, they tell her most of the wounded died, one survived, and the asshole captain survived, which is unfortunate.
Oh.
So when they get back to her mash, she's like, I can help with surgery. And the colonel's like, you literally just passed out. And also, I have no idea what happened here. And I would prefer you not.
You keep killing people.
Yeah, she's like, he was like, I would prefer you not be involved in anything major until I actually know what happened. So Galen's like, look, I thought you were gonna die tonight. Please just stay in my mansion with me. And she's like, okay. So she goes back to VIP tent. He washes the blood off her. He gets her a change of clothes. They kind of chill a little bit. They bond over. She's like, I should have had you there. I would have died. And he's like, no, you're the strongest person I know. And they have a whole moment together. The next day, he makes her breakfast. It did not have blueberries. I don't remember what it was, but I remember going, at least it's not fucking blueberries.
That must mean he likes her.
Exactly. She's moving up. She's moving up in the world. When he gave her blueberries too, he had like strawberries, one of the better berries. I was like, sir, I would not.
Come on, he's keeping the strawberries for himself. How
Yeah, he's like, what don't I want? The blueberries. Here you go, girl.
thoughtful. It's like when you're giving someone like one of your Starbursts or your Skittles, you're like, you can have the orange one. But like a grown-up version.
You can pick out all the orange ones.
This always worked for me because I like the orange one.
You like the orange ones, Kayla?
Like the orange and the yellow.
That's crazy.
They're fine. I don't really like the purple. I'm talking about
No.
That's true. I think we can agree purple is the worst. Although purple in like Ireland is black currant. I like
Oh.
that. I don't like the grape one.
Yeah, I don't like the grape.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
no.
unfortunate. I think we need to campaign for black currant worldwide.
No, see, do you eat Starbucks enough to for us to do this?
I think I eat Starbursts maybe once a year, but I feel very strongly about this.
There's a lot of hills I die on. The Starbucks? I don't think so. I don't think I would.
Maybe you would if we had black currant flavored ones.
Wait, guys, I thought we were talking about Skittles.
Oh, I did mention both. In fairness, Skittles also
If we're
purple
talking
is
about
Babs.
Skittles, purple is the worst. Starburst, I don't like
I like the yellow.
orange. I actually like the yellows. I don't like the
Yeah.
orange.
I like the yellows and the pink.
Yeah, yellows and pink.
Yeah. So they end up talking about the prophecy. She's like, I'm scared of the prophecy. That's why I had Hefe drug you, and explains the whole eBay situation. But she's like, now that two of the three parts of the prophecy have come true, I feel like I need to just acknowledge that it's happening. Yeah. And so when the third part comes out,
Now that it's almost done,
I'm on board now. Now that I realize I don't need to do anything differently than just live my life,
it's gonna happen.
it's fine. So they agree that when the next part of the prophecy comes out, they'll like figure it out together. Horace comes to take her to see the colonel. He's like, the colonel is all worked up. He's like, heads up, asshole captain told the colonel you were just randomly ambushed and also that you died. He
Oh,
does not know that she lived.
why would they do that?
Well, because he was like, well, they don't know that he had his like knife and he's the one that set it off.
Doesn't he know she's gonna show back up? She died.
Asshole captain thinks, yeah, he thinks Petra died.
Oh, he doesn't even.
He actually thinks that.
He actually thinks that.
Yeah. And so the colonel's like, you know what would be
Okay.
funny is if she just showed up.
It
So
was.
no one has told him Petra's alive. And he just has her show up like in the middle of Captain's story. And Captain is like, before she even says anything, he's like, she's a liar. And she's really nervous because mortals are not even allowed to testify in court. Like, you always just assume the demigod is right. But the colonel is like, I will believe you. I just need to hear what actually happened. So she tells him, and he's like, cool. We can do a court martial in which we don't do a full court. Like, I'm just listening to you. So then I can actually punish this man. And he's like, it's really good that you made this work and brought home the one like wounded man, because I didn't tell you everything. He was not just a random soldier. This man is a full god. And he is like a minor god. He's like the god of fertility. But his dad is a major god. And if something happened to this man, dad would like burn them to the ground. So he's like, I'm glad we rescued him. That was good. So they have him like under guard now because nothing can happen to him. But means Colonel is very happy with Petra and her performance today. So she, oh, another thing to note is that they have noticed more and more casualties over time. And they're like, it kind of feels like we're losing. Are we losing? And now all wounded who can still even kind of fight are being called back to active duty. So she's like, shit, we are kind of outnumbered. Galen is like, yes, we are outnumbered. And I think the war is probably going to end in the next 2 to 3 days. And then, they're just going to destroy the earth, which kind of puts into perspective his naked fighting of scorpions and like eating blueberries. Like, sir, the earth is ending in 2 days.
Get it
You spent a week like making a coffin for Marius.
together.
I get that Petra was not playing ball, but this is information he could have shared earlier.
She wasn't very receptive earlier.
That's true. But if he was like, the earth is done in like 2 days, this is actually urgent.
No, he was like, when she comes to me, I'll share my news.
It's like the game of chicken, fire-breathing chickens. So she's like, fuck. He said his team used to like go and try to take out key players in the old god army to at least try to even it out a little bit, but it's really not working out. And the only thing the new gods have left to try is that the gods of the underworld are not involved yet. So like Hades is not out here fighting. New gods tried to recruit them, but the underworld gods said they would only collaborate here if they could have the soul of every mortal in the new god army once the war was done. And the new god army was like, that seems excessive, so we're gonna just keep that, in our back pocket for now. And didn't take them up on it, but if they get desperate enough, they are planning to. But there's still a third part of the prophecy. There is still hope. Also, when she wakes up the next morning, Galen's gone, so she thinks that he's been called back to the front. And so she like runs through camp shouting for him, and it turns out he was just in the shower. I don't know why there's a sauna in this tent, but not a shower. He still needs to go to the group shower. It makes very little sense.
But
You
also,
think
she didn't know looking for him. She just immediately was like, he must have been called to the front.
immediately. She is not the most chill of people.
No. Girl is tightly wound.
She really is. But he, so when he shows back up, he's like, okay, well, if I do get called back, I promise I will at least say goodbye. Like, I'm not gonna just disappear for you, like on you. Also, she gets so excited, she kisses him. And so everyone in camp starts like cheering again. And she's like, fine, we're seeing each other. I finally admit it. I think everyone just thought they were just going for naked walks before. So they feel vindicated to know there was more going on. Then other shit happens that's not really important. We're moving past it. She goes to check on the injured god, and he's like, I know this is going to sound stupid. I wanted to fight in the war to impress a girl, because anyone can be born a god, but like you choose to be a warrior. And Petra's like, you're right, that does sound stupid. That's ridiculous.
You've almost died for nothing, idiot.
Yeah, I'm glad there are guards outside your room, because fuck that. And then while she's talking to him, there's an announcement on, and the announcer is like, so, as you know, the colonel has told me not to announce anything with the prophecy. I will not say to head to the mess tent right now. There is nothing to see there. So, obviously, go to the mess tent, and PNN is on with the breaking news. And there were like so many like witty little jokes in this that are lost to the fact that I'm trying to go through the plot. but I thought this one was worth keeping because it was really funny for me. So they have like a scrolling banner at the bottom with like breaking news. And this is breaking news: 12 vampires dead after falling asleep at outdoor Oracle watch party.
Oh
That's quite funny. And then as they're watching the oracles on TV, it's so the news coverage is broken. There's new breaking news coverage. I didn't know where that sentence was going when I started it.
it's just
The
broken.
news is broken and it's not getting fixed. So they interrupt the coverage. That's the phrase I was looking for. With breaking news from the front, the Old God army is advancing on Mountain of Flames. And Mountain of Flames is what Galen told her was kind of the point of no return. Like, if Old God army takes Mountain of Flames, that's when we're bringing the underworld in and like fuck all your souls. So, not great. And they're planning to take it in the next 24 hours. But the prophecy has been released. And so the first part of the prophecy is, as armies rage, the lifesaver will fall in love. And Petra's like, perfect, check. The man gave me blueberries. What more could you want?
That was all I needed.
She has a very low bar. And then the prophecy continues. And after, she will find new peace as he finds death. And she's like, don't love that. She's like, I just will just not kill you. And Galen's like, it didn't say you were going to kill me. It said I was going to die. Like, I don't think we can control that.
Like, okay, I'll stop thinking about it then.
Yeah.
Oh, I just had it like planned out.
I poisoned your strawberries. So he says, look, regardless, I'm a soldier. I'm going to have to die at some point. And it felt really nice to be loved by you. And I loved you the minute I saw your soul. And she's like, I can't take that, and ran out of the mess tent. So she goes to Father Mulcahy to try and talk through, do we think there's a loophole? Is there something I can do? They talk for hours and essentially conclude, no loophole. It is what it is.
Can she just shove his soul back in, though?
She did, but he has to die after.
Died.
Oh, well, he's going to die. If he dies in the war, right, she can't do anything. She can only fix it if she's there. Yeah.
Because you won't be there.
That, and he's like all gung ho on this prophecy, so he does not want her to do anything to ruin it.
Got it.
So he kind of appears in Creepy Graveyard. He has been called back up to the front, and he's been hiding in Creepy Graveyard because he wanted to say goodbye before he left. When they get back to camp, I'm very confused by how quickly things happen here, because it's pandemonium at camp, because Galen has officially gone AWOL in these last, what, like 2 hours? Because he was called up to the front. He wanted to say goodbye.
2 hours, that's all.
2 hours? Like, can he teleport? What the hell? Why did they have to take like this jeep down the highway to hell if they could teleport?
Insane.
Don't know. Again, not smart enough for this book sometimes. So the other reason for the pandemonium is the guards that were guarding the injured god went to find Galen when he went AWOL, and that god escaped. And they're like, fuck, Daddy God is gonna get really mad at us if we don't find him. They go to see the colonel, and Colonel is pissed because he's like, really? You couldn't just go up to the front? 2 hours again. I don't know, but is punishment that's been like handed down, it's not Colonel's decision, it's been handed down to him, is that Galen loses his immortality. So he has to take this like potion, but he's still sent to Mountain of Flames
For 2 hours.
for 2 hours, right? It seems excessive to me.
Little bit.
I went back and reread it because I was like, has it been, was she talking to Father Mulcahy for like multiple days? No, it's the same day.
When they want you, they want you.
Yeah.
So he has to go off to Mountain of Flames. So she's just kind of sitting watching the news, being sad. Roger tries to make her feel better, and he's like, it doesn't say when he dies. Like, maybe it means 80 years from now. And she's like, he is mortal and in Mountain of Flames right now. But thanks. And then the news was once again broken because the battle has been put on pause. There is a conversation happening about a ceasefire because the injured god, the god of fertility, if you recall, has gotten his girlfriend, who was one of the old god's daughters, pregnant. So
Oh.
they're like, oh, it's a little embarrassing for both sides if we don't figure this shit out. So they are in peace talks. She's like, yes, awesome. Then the Mountain of Flames is absorbed by Hades. And she's like, oh, well,
That's not good.
he's gone. I guess that's the third prophecy. So she's hanging with Roger. They're crying, they're laughing. And then Galen appears and she's like, what? He said, when the ceasefire talks started, Pluto had them shut down all the gates so no one could die. Like, you couldn't go to the underworld, you couldn't go to heaven. Everything shut down because we need to figure out the ceasefire. It's unclear how this prophecy still took place because he didn't die.
Oh.
I don't know if that happens in book two. I don't know if it's because he gave up his immortality.
It's kind of a death.
I'm unclear.
Or maybe he died, but he couldn't go anywhere because they were closed, so he just
Maybe.
stayed
So he
put.
came back to his
Yeah.
body. I didn't even think of that.
Never to go,
Very
I guess, like,
genius.
comes back.
It's like half a death.
Yeah, a little
The big difference between mostly dead and all dead.
bit.
So that's kind of where it ends. The war is on hold for now. It's not over yet, but it's on hold. There's more books in the series, so it's for real not over. But for now, they're just happy to be together.
So it doesn't sound like she was really, I get the car.
She did absolutely nothing. All she did, well, she saved the fertility god's life, I guess.
I guess that's how.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty passive
Yeah.
savior here.
She fought it tooth and nail the whole way.
And all she really needed to do is just transport
Just
this
live
guy.
her life. Like, she was like, after the second prophecy, she goes, okay, well, now I'm in. And then the third prophecy came out, and she's like, I'm back to no again. I'm back to no. So, three questions. Was it good? No. But did I enjoy it? Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. There were really funny parts. I really appreciated the vampires that died because they fell asleep during a watch party. And like little jokes like that. There were a lot of like little and a lot of little call outs to MASH, which I appreciated. And would I recommend it? I'd recommend it to people who like MASH. I don't know that I'd recommend it to anyone else. Because I think I appreciated it because there are so many call outs to the show.
So, like, if someone didn't watch MASH, they're not going to get any of those.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to be worth it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Recommend it to my mom.
There you go.
Loves MASH.
Does she like monster romances?
No, it'll be interesting, but.
It's like a very small Venn diagram of people who like both.
They're saying this is not a New York Times
But
bestseller.
he's not really a monster because he's just humanoid, right?
Yeah, he's humanoid. He's a demigod. I want to look at who gave it 5 stars on Goodreads and figure out how to make them my friends.
This is your most specific subgroup.
This is my niche.
Gotta be careful though, because you know there's those people who like give everything 5 stars.
That's true. I am those
Oh,
people.
really? I'm not.
If I finish it, it gets at least three.
I think that's fair, just not how I think about it. I've never given anything 1 star.
I've given a 1 star.
That book I read when we were in Newport, I forget what it's called now, but I finished it just so I could give it 1 star. Because I liked the first like 3 quarters, and the last quarter was so bad.
Made you so mad.
I was so mad. I was rage reading it at that point.
I literally just gave a book 2 stars though.
Oh, what was it?
It's The Guest by Emma Klein. It is a book where nothing happens. Let me just tell Wait, let me just tell you. This it's like this girl's kind of like a grifter, but she's really good at it. And she like starts dating this older man. This all kind of happened before the book. Because this book all takes place in 1 week. And she like scams her roommates too many times, so they kick her out of the apartment. And he's like, just come stay with me in the Hamptons for a week or for a month. She goes out there, but then they get into a fight. And so he's like, you gotta go. But then he's having a big party the following week. So she's like, really? I just have to spend 1 week here without him knowing and like grift around a bit. And then I'll go back at the party and we'll make up. So it's literally just about her like bopping around for a week. And then the book freaking ends, spoiler alert, with her going to the party. She sees him and the book ends.
But you don't know if she actually gets back with him.
No.
Oh my God. What a cop out.
Ooh.
What a cop out.
2 stars from me. People gave it higher stars than me, but 2 stars from me.
I did give this book 5 stars, but then I hid it from my Goodreads newsfeed.
You shame rated it.
I wanted it to count for my number of books this year, but I didn't want it to be on my profile.
I accidentally listened to another cannibal story on my way, to New England.
You're saying accident as if that's
Accidentally.
an accident, as if you're not doing
It's
I was
maybe not
forced.
forced, but unaware it's a part of it until I'm way too far in. It's like, oh, I have another cannibal book. The book I bought in Newport was a romantic cannibal fan fiction. I didn't realize until it became obvious what she was making the soap
Oh
out
my
of.
God.
It was based on
Oh
Hannibal.
my
She's eating
God.
people.
I guess the book I got in Newport could have been
Could
worse.
have been that. Kayla liked it, so don't let her fool
It wasn't a terrible book. It was written like a fan fiction.
you. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's for me.
No, that's why it wasn't. What is, I wouldn't recommend it.
Jess, do you know what you're reading for next time?
You'll be surprised for all of us. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Spoilers and Courage.
If you enjoyed our little book club, make sure to rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode filled with literary disasters. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at Spoilers Encouraged and Spoilers N, that's Spoilers EN on X.
You have a terrible book you want us to tackle next? Email us at spoilersencouraged@gmail.com to share your thoughts and book recommendations.
Until next time, keep reading, and remember, a book being bad doesn't mean we won't love it.